The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis, Genesis the 30th chapter, in verse 27. Genesis the 30th chapter, in verse 27. I want to speak to you this morning, with the time remaining, on being blessed because of others. Being blessed because of others. And in some ways, I believe it ties in with what Brother Luke has presented to us. It has a lot to do with what you think about yourself. In our country, we elevate the notion of the self-made man or woman who has risen from the ashes of nothing to become something. we think about climbing the corporate ladder and stepping on people to get up there. I tell you what, that's a terrible attitude for a child of God to have. And by the way, while it's on my mind, what Brother Luke was presenting there on telling us, instead of the opposite of who am I, saying, I deserve this, or Lord, you should pick me. It reminds me of the rhetoric of our candidates, does it not? You should pick me, and if you don't, then shame on you. That sounds just like our candidates, the major candidates that are out there. That's a terrible attitude to have, that type of focus on self. And that's what we have promoted on a daily basis in this me generation. So let's think this morning, as we look at Genesis 30 and verse 27, about how we all are blessed because of others. Verse 27, Genesis 30, "And Laban said unto Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry," or stay here, "for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Blessed because of others. Now Laban, he was quite, as they would have said in the old days, he was quite a horse trader and not a fair or honest one at all. Laban was very slick. He was very clever. And he understood how to turn a profit. And during the time that his son-in-law, Jacob, had been living there, which was about 21 years, he had benefited off of the abilities of Jacob during that time. You recall Laban is the very loving and considerate father-in-law who, on the night that Jacob was to marry Rachel, who he was in love with and had worked for 7 years... You know, and remember, you say, well, that's harsh. Well, remember, Jacob appointed those 7 years to himself. He could have appointed 30 days. But he said, he was a little rash with his emotions. And he said, I love this girl so much, I'll work for her for 7 years and then marry her. Well, he could have said 7 days or 7 weeks, or 7 months. But Jacob, in his emotional state, said, I'll do it for 7 years. Well, he does say that 7 years passed off just like that because he was so enamored and so in love with Rachel. But Rachel had a sister named Leah. And Leah was not as attractive as Rachel. Now, and remember this, you've heard this phrase, beauty is skin deep. Both of these girls, Rachel and Leah, had some serious truth and honesty issues, some serious issues in their life. So, whether one was better looking than the other, they both had some issues going on here. So beauty is, in this case, certainly, Rachel was beautiful, but it was only skin deep. She had a lot of problems. She even stole from her father. If you continue reading, you'll find that out. So Jacob is enamored with Rachel. He says, I'll work for her for 7 years. And I'm sure Laban is thinking, I just got some free labor for 7 years. Well, the 7 years goes by, and it's the wedding night, and good old father-in-law, considerate Laban, he does a little switch there, and he sends Leah in the bedchamber, and actually, Jacob and Leah are married that night. And Jacob wakes up the next morning, and he looks over, and he sees, that's not Rachel. That's not Rachel. When the sunlight came through the tent, and they pulled the drape back, he's been there with Leah. That's what Laban did to him. And Jacob says, what did you do? You tricked me. So Laban is a trickster. He is a devious man. And he says, well, we're just worried that Leah would never have anybody to marry. So, we just kind of figured we'd slip her in there first. And you'd still marry Rachel. What will you appoint now to marry Rachel? And Jacob, I don't know what he's thinking. But he says, I'll work for you another 7 years. Now, I do believe that if you read the scripture carefully, you'll find that he went ahead and married her just immediately after he married Leah. So he married both of the girls, basically, and both of the ladies in a very short period of time. And Laban is over there, he's just licking his chops because he's got this guy tied into him, and he sees that he's benefiting from him. Jacob has the blessing of God upon him. And let me just say this. If you encounter people in your life that seem to have the blessing of God in their life, now everybody's blessed of God in the sense that you're a child of God. All of God's children are blessed because they've been chosen by Him before the foundation of the world. Christ has paid for them on the cross. But the point is, there's some times in your life you recognize, well, here is an exceptional person. Or here is somebody that I really admire or respect, and they're walking in peace, and they're enjoying life in the sense of spiritual enjoyment. Let me tell you, when you find somebody like that, you better attach yourself to them. Because you may be blessed just by standing in their shadow. In our society today, we put the emphasis on ourselves. Look at me, stand in my shadow. We should be looking at others and see where the blessing of God is and attach ourselves to those others. And you never know, some of that sweet manna from heaven may fall in your presence while you are in the presence of that individual. So that's what Laban recognized. Even devious, lying, trickster, dishonest Laban says, I have learned by experience. It's been 21 years now. He says, I've learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now, Laban was not someone that you would put on the list of, well, he really deserves the blessings of God. I mean, he tricked Jacob on his wedding night. Now, don't feel too sorry for Jacob, because Jacob did the same thing to his own daddy. Remember, Jacob tricked Esau out of the blessing that Esau was due by law, and also tricked him out of his birthright. So don't feel too sorry for Jacob. It's been a few years that's gone by, and Jacob is reaping what he's sown. So Laban tricks Jacob, similar way that Jacob tricked his own father. And you wouldn't think about Laban, well, here's a guy, he's going to get the blessings of God. The only reason that Laban had the blessings from God was because of the presence of Jacob in his house. Don't ever forget that. Even this trickster recognized the blessing of God on his house because Jacob was present there. So obviously, Laban doesn't want Jacob to leave. He says, I've recognized that all these years, all these 21 years that you've been laboring here, my crops have been blessed, my herds have been blessed. And Jacob goes down through here and says how unfairly that Laban treated him. Even during those years of blessing, it says that Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. And I don't believe he was increasing them. I think he was lowering them. So you see, Laban recognized that he was blessed because of others. There's all types of circumstances in the Scripture where people are blessed because of others. That's one primary one right there that really sits with me, because Laban was such a devious person. Think of this one. What about Noah? It doesn't say that God called Noah and Noah's wife and Noah's children and their wives. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there were some other people in his life that were blessed because of the blessing of God upon Noah. Y'all see that? God called Noah to build the ark. God didn't call the entire family. He put his emphasis on Noah, but guess what? Noah's wife, we always refer to her affectionately as Mrs. Noah. Noah's wife and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, they were blessed because of another. Were they not? They were blessed because of Noah. What about Lot, the nephew of Abraham? Lot, you know, the sad sack Lot, who was basically orphaned. He was probably in his 20s or 30s whenever he was orphaned, but nonetheless, it was still a difficult situation for Lot. Abraham felt so sorry for him that Abraham actually goes against the command of God. He goes against the command of God because God told Abraham to come out, he and Sarah, by himself. But Abraham comes out with servants. He comes out with Lot, his nephew, and all of abundance of a household there. And so for many years, Lot is a beneficiary because he's in the presence of Abraham. A couple years ago, I preached a message to you about a Lot and how illogical he was in his thinking. To know somebody who is the friend of God like Abraham, and to willfully go away from that, the presence of that man. I mean, it's not that somebody later years said Abraham was the friend of God, and you look back and you go, oh, no, Lot, Sarah, all of the ones that were there were aware at that moment that Abram, and eventually Abraham, as his name was changed, that he was the friend of God. And why was he the friend of God? It's because he did what God said. Let me say this, you'll probably never have the tests in your life like Abraham had. Somebody says, well, I want to be like Abraham. You can be like Abraham and use the faith that God has given you, but it's going to be a rare circumstance where God appears to someone and says, I want you to take your son or your daughter up onto the Mount Moriah there and sacrifice them. That is a rare circumstance. God is not asking us to do that. As a matter of fact, God was proving to Abraham that there was going to be a sacrifice one day, and he was preaching Jesus to him there on that mountain. So understand, Lot was in the presence of the friend of God. And what does Lot do? He goes away. He gets a chance to come back into the presence of the friend of God. Whenever Abraham rescued Lot after there was a war that took place there, Lot was taken prisoner. He was a POW. He was taken prisoner. Abraham goes and rescues him. Lot has a chance to come back. He doesn't have the herds and flocks anymore. He doesn't have the servants. All he's got is his wife and maybe a few children. And what does Lot do? He goes back to Sodom. Lot was a very illogical person. I mean, really, think about it. It doesn't really take a leap of faith. It just takes really logic in your own mind. If the Lord is blessing Abraham over here, and the Lord calls Abraham his friend, and the Lord appears to Abraham and instructs him from time to time, it's just logical to think, I want to be near this guy. It's just a logical process there. Now throw in your faith there, throw in the Spirit of God, and it becomes even more important because you see, if God's blessing over here, then that's where I want to be. Listen, what about Joseph in Genesis 39? Genesis, the 39th chapter. Very clear, very plain what's going on in Genesis 39. It says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw Potiphar recognized that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, this necessarily involved Potiphar taking the emphasis off of himself. You know, Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was a big man. He was like a Roman centurion years down the road. He was a general in the army. He was the captain of the army. And so he had a lot going for himself. He's obviously a good fighter. He's obviously very talented in that way. He's a good leader. But Potiphar was able to step back from himself, take the emphasis off of himself and what he was and who he was, and look at another and recognize, my goodness, the blessing of God is on this Joseph. You see, if you're prideful and you're only thinking about yourself all the time and you're thinking that you're the man or you're the woman or you're the one that's got it going on, you can't see the blessing of God on others. You understand that? You got to take the emphasis off yourself. Where is God blessing? Where is God giving grace in the lives of his people? I look at that when it comes to you here. I look at that in your lives. I think the Lord is blessing here. Sometimes it takes an outside source coming to you and saying, have you recognized that the Lord is blessing here? I'll tell you a little funny little example. Sometime back, I was helping counsel a couple that was having some marital trouble. And and by the way, every couple has marital trouble. Do you realize that? I mean, some more serious than others, some less serious, but everybody has marital trouble. It just goes with having two sinners under one roof. And Brother Tim, Sister Tracy's included in that. Any preacher you know is included in that. Any deacon you know is included in that. Of any church, any church member, any person, it's just the way it goes. That's just, you put two sinners under one roof, you got trouble. But sometimes it takes somebody pointing out to us, hey, this is the Lord knocking on your door. I mean, I've been that way too. Brother Tim, do you realize this is God, you know, showing you what you need to see? I felt a burden to call this person at a particular time, sometime back. And I called this person. They said, I can't talk right now. I'll call you back later. So the person calls me back later. And he says, when you called a while ago, I was just in the middle of a knockdown dragout, and I don't mean physically, but I was just in the middle of a heated debate and conversation with my spouse. He says, it's kind of funny. You know, it was lucky that you called right then. I said, let me tell you something, brother. Luck doesn't have anything to do with it. Luck doesn't have anything to do with it. Let me hold a sign up that says, you know, here's God speaking to you. If I called, had a burden to call in the moment that that person was about to open their mouth and say something ridiculous, which it prevented them from doing that. They saw my phone call coming in. And they were like, praise God. I said, do you need a flashing neon sign to see that God just blessed you because of another? You say, well, Brother Tim, you had a choice to make that call. That's exactly right. And I made it. I felt a burden to make it, and I made it. You feel a burden from God. You feel something moving you from God. And let me say, you say, how do I know it's moving me from God? Because it involves mercy, and it involves compassion, and it involves the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you know when it's God moving you to do something. And God will only ever move you to do something that is good and right. He'll never move you to do something that's wrong. Because he's righteous, like Brother Luke has already beautifully preached to us. So I explained to that person, I said, do you see? I said, I want to make sure you see what's going on here. You're in the middle of a fuss with your wife, and you're about to say something ridiculous that's probably going to, you know, she might punch you in the teeth. Who knows? And my phone call comes in while you're about to say something that you know you shouldn't say, and you just can't control yourself anymore, and all of a sudden, whoop, it's gone. That's the Lord. That's not Brother Tim having some kind of sovereign wisdom. That is the God of sovereign grace that looked down upon that person and said, I'm going to burden Brother Tim to make that call, and I'm going to show mercy on this poor sap that's about to stick his foot in his mouth again. You see that? Those are little ways that you can be blessed because of others. Joseph blesses the house of Potiphar. Because the blessing of God is upon him. Now, Joseph, it wasn't all smooth sailing for Joseph. Not long after everything's going great. And don't forget that when everything's going great and the Lord's blessing is upon you, you can rest assured that Satan is about to sneak around the corner. He hates the blessing of God on your life, and he will do everything he can to disrupt the blessing of God and distract you from serving God. That's what Satan specializes in. And don't you think for one second that you can take him on alone, because God doesn't design that for you to be able to do that. Satan is the second most powerful being in the universe, and you cannot handle him alone. I've said this before, we need to hear it again. A weak Christian, someone who is a weak child of God, says, well, I can handle any temptation. I can surf that site. I can go past that. I can go to that place and it won't affect me. You know, I don't care what's going on there. I'm a super Christian. I am impervious to temptation. And so therefore I can be around that person that continues maybe to tempt me. I won't be tempted. That is a weak child of God. The strong child of God knows they can't handle the temptation. They'll flee from the temptation, and they'll position themselves where the temptation will pass by them far away. That's a strong child of God. Don't you think for one second that you could take on Satan and his devices. He's had 6,000 years to prepare to destroy you. Don't think for one second you can handle him. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is against you. And it's amazing that you don't hear much about Satan anymore. Well, come to Bethlehem, you're going to hear about Satan because he's real. He's not some kind of imaginary monster or a booger man that somebody's come up with in the past that says, oh, he's just something of our imaginations. Satan is real and he will destroy you. That's what he is. But God is for you. And God's greater than Satan. Potiphar recognizes that his house is blessed, and you know what happens here. Potiphar's wife is a very dangerous woman, a very treacherous, evil woman. She tries to seduce Joseph. He won't give in, but she plots against him, has his coat with her false evidence, and Joseph is removed from the house of Potiphar, and he's put in the prison. Look at verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Don't ever forget that, child of God. It doesn't matter if the courts of this land betray you because of confusion and put you in a place where you don't deserve to be, I can assure you that God is still in the places where you don't deserve to be. Just like He's in the places where you regularly walk about and do the things that you do. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And this example of Joseph is not just for Joseph and not just for some idea that we have super Christian. There's no such thing as a super Christian. There's only the child of God walking and living in the mercy of God. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. When you find Josephs in your life, you need to cling to them. You might be a Joseph. And you need to be rejoicing when others cling to you. We need to be understanding that we are blessed because of others. I'll never forget. I've had some significant experience in my life in being blessed because of others. I remember when I was 11 years old, 11 or 12. Mom and Dad and Chris, they went off on a senior cruise. Yeah, a cruise. Way back in 1984 or 5, I believe it was. 1985, I think. So it was just me and Grandmother McCool there on the farm. And I felt like a big dog. I mean, I really felt like I was the man. Finally, 11 years old, 12 years old, left in charge of the farm, me and Grandmother McCool. I think Aunt Lorraine was living there then, too. So, Dad would let, I was only 12 or 11, and Dad would let us drive the car, the trucks, farm trucks, tractors around the farm there. No big deal. Well, I decided, I kind of got the big head. I said, I'm going to just kind of cruise around the community a little bit. So I got the old F-250 dually four-wheel drive green monster Ford that we used to have. And here I am sitting. I can't hardly see over the steering wheel, So Grandmother McCool said, "Where are you going?" I said, I'm just going to go and cruise the estate and just, see my flocks and herds and everything. So here I go. I go up the road and our property ends here. I said, I just think I'll keep on going. We had ATV trails, three-wheeler, four-wheeler trails all over the community back in those days. And in those days, most folks didn't mind if you rode across their property. That's just the way it was back when I was 11 or 12. Or at least they never caught us and told us they minded. But we had four-wheeler, three-wheeler trails everywhere. There was one particular trail up at the end of James Road. You go across into the woods there, and it was just a little narrow trail. And I knew I couldn't go very far down on it in that truck. I knew I couldn't pass it. I thought it would be kind of cool, just drive down here in this truck, view my trail, Had my 22 rifle there, and little Dan, my little hunting dog there with me, my little squirrel dog. So here I go, driving down through there, bumping around. I went as far as I could, turned around. Couldn't go any further down the trail because it just wouldn't fit, big truck like that. So I turn around, and lo and behold, I'm not going to tell you his name. You folks from Gordo could figure it out. But there was the neighbor who did not like you crossing his property. And he's standing there with a shotgun outside his truck. And this neighbor kind of always had a scowl on his face. Even when he smiled, he had a scowl on his face. And he said what Brother Keith would refer to as some church words to me. He said, "What in the world are you doing trespassing on my property?" There were a few bleeps and beeps in there. And he said, "Are you hunting on my property?" I said, "No, sir. There's my dog and my gun right there." But truthfully, I really wasn't hunting. I was just riding around cruising the estate. Man, he mentioned calling the law. "How old are you?" "I'm 11. I was scared to death. I have never been that scared in my life before. And a few times, maybe only a couple times since then. And he finally let me go. He cussed me and he crawled me and he told me never to come back and on. Dad knows exactly who I'm talking about. And so go back home to Grandmother's. I'm an icicle. I'm frozen. I go inside. I sit down. And when I sit down, I just was shaking there. Grandmother McCool, "You okay?" Yeah, I'm okay. About 15, 20 minutes later, here he comes, pulls up in Grandmother McCool's yard. And if there's ever a turning point in your life when you think you might finally, or at least for a man, for a boy or a man, if I ever made the turning point from boy to manhood, that was at least the beginning of it. Because Grandmother McCool goes to the door and she says, "Well, there's old so-and-so. What's he doing here?" And I squeaked out. I said, "I'll handle it." I knew he was going to kill me. So I walk out there. I force my legs to walk out there. And I'm facing this neighbor with wide eyes, looking up at him. And he's still got that scowl on his face. And I just knew he was fixing to tell me the sheriff's on the way. You're going to juvenile court. You're done for. I'm just going to kill you. I just didn't know back in those days. I've watched too many movies. He opened his mouth and he said, "Boy, I just want to apologize to you. I'm so sorry I cussed you and crawled you. I didn't realize you were Dewey McCool's grandson. You come on my property anytime you want to. Come hunting, come riding. I don't care if you ever, anytime you want to come on my property." And I just melted. That's a pretty good example of being blessed because of others. He realized who I was. It didn't have anything to do with me because I was just a little snotty-nosed 11-year-old thinking I could ride anywhere I wanted to ride. Didn't even have a driver's license. But we were on the dirt road and the trails, by the way. That is a great example of how that man's relationship with another person, my grandfather, caused a blessing. Now, it was a cursing to begin with, but it caused a blessing to come back on me. Not because of me, and not because he had a relationship with me, but because that man had a relationship with my grandfather. I was blessed because of another. I could give you another example very quickly. And I'm giving you these examples, so maybe you can think of ways in your life. It might be a mother, it might be a father, it might be a friend, it might be a neighbor. We've all been blessed because of others. You may have to strain really hard to think about it. But I remember when I applied to law school, you know, they had to invent a scholarship to give to Brother Chris. He's so smart, you know. They had to invent one. What is this scholarship? It's a new one they came up with, and they give it to Chris McCool. He's a genius. As, you know, we're usually ragging on each other, but I'm telling you, Brother Chris is a genius. That's just the way that it is. Now, I don't know what happened to me. You know, I got the looks, I guess. You know, I'm just kidding. See, I'm ragging on him again. I'm sorry. But anyway, they had to invent a scholarship to give to Brother Chris so he could go full ride to the University of Alabama Law School. Well, then along comes little brother a couple years later. I don't have the best GPA. I don't have the highest marks, you know. I got a few things I put on my resume, you know. I bench press, you know, a certain amount, but I don't know if that's good for law school. But so basically they let me in law school because of Brother Chris. That was one of the reasons. Now, I scored the LSAT. I did okay on the LSAT. But it was sort of on the borderline, and they said, look at what Chris McCool has done. Surely this guy's going to have a little bit of his, you know, pizzazz and charisma or something, you know. Well, of course, they were totally wrong. You know, but thank God. You know, I acknowledge that. I'm not sitting here telling you today, well, I got in because of my greatness or because of my bench press or because of my ability. I got in because of another person who was extremely smart, and I rejoice in that. Now, listen. You say, well, I can't think of any way in my life, well, not one single way, which I have been blessed by others. And by the way, the inverse of that is true. You can be cursed by the ones that you spend time with if you're not careful with who you select to spend time with. The reverse of that is true. You need to be careful about who you hang out with, about who you spend time with, about who you date, about who you marry. You need to be careful about the circle that you run with because you can be cursed because of them. But how blessed is it whenever you're blessed because of the others that you're spending time with? You say, I can't think of any way whatsoever. Let me give you one way that you've been blessed because of another. I'm sure some of you have already thought of this. You've been blessed because of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, listen, how much more shall the blood of Christ, not the blood of Brother Tim, not the blood of an animal, not the blood that you have shed. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Notice the many go around saying today, Jesus is offering himself to you. He's laying himself down there for you so that you can accept him or reject him. I want you to know the word of God says that he's not offering himself to you. He has already offered himself to God without spot to God. He's not offering himself to you. He doesn't have any reason to offer himself to you because if he offered himself to you in your nature without God in your heart, you would totally reject him. You see, he's offered himself without spot to God. The only way that you are in that equation is that God had written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and he said, I'm going to bless this person written in my book by the work of another, Jesus Christ.
He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, you are blessed because of another. The reason you'll be in immortal glory one day and in heaven is because of the work of another, not because of your work, not because of your choosing, not because of your plan or your prayer or your baptism. You will be blessed because of the work of another, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you rejoice in that this morning? Amen. You say, well, I didn't have a very good upbringing. This was against me, that was against me. You know, my friends have betrayed me. I've gone through all types of difficulties in my life. And yes, you may have gone through more difficulties than others have. Yes, that may be true. But I can assure you that there's one area of your life, there's one place where you have been blessed by another, and it is when Jesus went to the cross and he paid for your sins. You weren't there. You didn't participate in that. You didn't opt into that. You were the beneficiary of his last will and testament. He wrote your name in there before the world was formed, and he signed it, sealed it, and delivered it in his blood, and you're blessed because of another.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.